glasses, put them on. And where is the mic? Oh, Betty is the keeper of the mic. So last week, we looked at Psalm 46, and there was a lot of praise in there about God's kingdom and his presence and what he has done for his people. Well, I'm looking at Psalms 145, and who'd like to read 145? Who'd like to read Psalms 145? And let's do it out of the Bible there in front of you. Let's see, Betty. Oh, do you want to read it?
Sure.
All right. Psalm 145. Let's do, verses 1 through 9, and then I need somebody else to do verses 10 through 21. Who wants to do, okay, Jenny, you'll do the other ones then, okay. All right, Betty, whenever you're ready.
Of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. How far was I supposed to read?
Nine.
Okay. Yeah. The Lord is gracious and compassionate.
Okay. And then Jenny
slow
was
to anger and rich in love.
Cool. Thank you. Okay, Jenny was going to read 10 through 21. Let's give her the mic here.
The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
All right, so this psalm, even though I've had us read it, it's really the foundation of the next set of verses we're going to read. And this one is very much like Psalm 46 from last week. And it's all about the establishment of the kingdom of God here on earth. Now, this is Old Testament. Kingdom of God was definitely there, especially through the temple, through the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, throughout the reign of Saul, David, Solomon, and the rest of the kings, whether they were good or bad, immaterial. But this tells you, you've got two sections of praise here. It's important to note, for those of you, I know I don't have any Hebrew linguists, because I'm sure not. But this is a unique psalm because in the original Hebrew, each verse is actually using one of the letters of the Hebrew Psalms. So like where we have A, B, C, D, E, and so on, it's the same way with this psalm. I thought it was kind of interesting. And this is actually can be played to music. So Sue, if you ever get a chance, come up with some kind of music to go with 145 and we'll play it, you know? Because a lot of this stuff David played, you know, they said use trumpets, lyres, cymbals, all sorts of things. So it would be interesting to put some of these to music. Now, some of our songs are, or that we sing, are actually coming out of Psalms. But this is a very interesting psalm because it tells you about where we're at in our place of the kingdom of God and how we praise Him and worship Him. The enemies are defeated, but we live on with the Lord. But what I really want you to look at is let's go to Luke 10. Because we have the kingdom of God is established in the Old Testament. But now we want to talk a little bit about the New Testament and the establishment of God, God's kingdom. Let's go to Luke 10, verses 1 through 12. Luke 10, 1 through 12. Use the Bibles there in front of you or the Bible on your phone. So who would like to read? Okay, let's have the, where's the mic at? Give it to Janice, please.
After,
whenever you're ready, Janice.
Okay. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and set them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets." You want me to keep going?
Did you go up through 10?
Yeah, that was 10.
No, you can stop there. Okay. That's a good. Otherwise, I'll just let you read and then we'll just go have coffee.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So there's a couple things about that first verse where it says, he sent them out in pairs, 72. Now, it depends on which manuscript you read. Some of the ancient ones say 70. Others say 72. Theologians look at that and they go, it does not matter whether it's 70 or 72. My particular version says 70. The thing is that he sent them out, because originally he sent out the 12. He said, go out and evangelize. Let these cities know that I am coming. And they had authority over Satan, so they could cast out demons. They could do healing. He commissioned them. He set them up so that they could be very effective being out in the world telling them about Jesus and doing healing and deliverance and that sort of thing. Now he takes the 70 and he sends them out. But he sent them out by pairs. He didn't send them out singly. He sent them out in pairs because there's strength in at least two or more to do this. And one of the things about being sent out in twos is while one is talking, the other one can be praying. Because as you well know, prayer works, huh? Prayer is effective. So obviously, it's the same thing here. It's also, he says, go out, you'll cast out demons, you'll be able to do healing, but you're going to preach the good news. What's the good news? Anybody, what's the good news that the 70 are preaching about? What are they preaching?
The life of Jesus.
The life of Jesus. They're preaching about the kingdom of God has arrived. Where they're in the Old Testament kingdom of sacrifices and doing good works and all sorts of things. They are now preaching, saying, the kingdom of God is arrived. It first started with John the Baptist, the first prophet of the Old Testament, or the New Testament. He's also the last prophet of the Old Testament, John the Baptist. And he's saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and be baptized. So that's the message that's going out to everybody. So he did it by twos. I had a chance earlier this week to go see Ben Jones. How many of you remember Ben Jones? Okay. So Ben Jones, I was told that he had Alzheimer's, some dementia setting in, that sort of thing. So I went over with Nancy, because she takes care of him, and I had a chance to go see him. I took my nuclear special charged Jerusalem oil, all that stuff. Took that over, anointed him, anointed Nancy, and then I served communion for the three of us. I don't know when the last time was that Ben had communion. It's been, what, 10 years since he's been here?
It's been a while.
Yeah. Been a while. He is, what I expected to see was somebody who was in bed, out of his mind, all sorts of things. When you think about dementia or Alzheimer's, totally incapacitated. He's up, he's moving around, he's dressed, he's doing stuff in the yard, doing a lot of reading, that sort of thing. It's just, right now, it's just all memory stuff. So we got to talking and had the communion. So I've invited him back to church. So that's a prayer thing that I lay to before you as a prayer burden. Pray for Ben to be back. Because he's been gone, like you said, maybe 10 years. So I think right now he's a little bit embarrassed to come back. But I had a good time with him. And so I'm going to try to see him on a more regular basis. But have him come back. And Nancy's going to do her best to get him here on Communion Sundays. So that's a little bit of going out, like the 70, going out and reaching people. We've got somebody else, Diane. Diane hasn't been here for a while. She's got a hole in her heart. So she's not doing very well. So I've been trying to call her on the phone and say, hey, I need to come over. But that's not working, so I'm going to actually have to go ahead and drive on over there and go see her, which is okay. So I encourage you to do the same thing. If there are folks that you know that are sick, go see them. Pray for them. You are commissioned. You are commissioned. Because Matthew 28 says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Your commission. If you didn't know that, your commission. Go out there. Be a nuisance. Be a nuisance. Go talk to your neighbors. Now, yesterday was fun. As we had the 70, it made me think of something that we did at our house yesterday. So I had these six young, energetic, youthful folks out there in the backyard. You cut down the tree. We were wiping out the backyard. Okay? So a lot of stuff that was there that needed to be destroyed, stuff cut down, that sort of thing. I'm sure we are going to fill up the landfill out there past Corinne. But I got to watching as they worked in pairs, sometimes pairs, sometimes singly, but they were all working. And I go, this is a little example of the 70 out doing stuff. Because I commissioned them. I authorized them. I delegated them. I gave them implements of destruction, like loppers and shears and cutters and you name it, except explosives. And I said, go, destroy, nicely. Cut, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, what did Jesus do? Well, it's no different from here. Yeah, you know, I'm talking about landscape stuff, but it's no different. I said, here's what we need to do. Go do it. And they did it. They did it with enthusiasm. They relished it. They were swinging the big hammers. Huh, David? He was swinging the big hammers. He goes, Dad, I need a sledgehammer. I go, oh, no, you don't. Work with the big hammers. So we had big mallets. Okay? But they did it with enthusiasm. These 70 that went out, they did it with enthusiasm. But do you think maybe they were a little bit afraid? Sure. A little fear and trepidation never hurt anybody. So they went out to all the different villages where Jesus was eventually going to go. And what did they do? They spread the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. That's great news. So you too are commissioned. Go out. Spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Tell your story. Tell your story. We've got other folks that can tell the story of things that God has done for them. Spread the news. The kingdom of God is here. And oh, by the way, if you've got time, pray for each other. You don't have to be in their presence, but pray for each other as we go out and share the word of God, and the kingdom of God is here. All right. We've spent some time talking about this church is going to grow. But what is a couple of things that you need as an internal tool saying the church is going to grow? You need faith, and you need a word that starts with a T. Trust. Trust in God. Okay? And that's really important if we're going to grow, but not just us as a little church here, a little community, but as we spread out, trust and faith. Use that. Now, Lisa, I know I love to pick on you because it's fun. Did I say that out loud? She says, oh, bless you, Dave. Bless you. But because you're working with how many kids at the school? Because you got 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, right?
87.
So you got, as I call them, little germ factories. 87 little germ factories running around. But you're entrusted to them, right? They're entrusted to you to help them learn, to grow, building relationships, all these kinds of things. All right? So what a fantastic opportunity it is for you to, one, be yourself, but also show the love of Jesus and the kingdom of God to all these kids. Because not every one of them is Christian or of the LDS faith. How many of them are agnostic? Agnostic families, atheist families, things like that. So you can show them all sorts of things. And that's true for the rest of you. Okay, for the rest of you. You can show them all kinds of love. Now, let's go down in 10. It said, I'm going to send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. This is verse 3. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. And the reason Jesus said that to the 70 or 72 is he wanted them to stay focused on what it was they had at hand to do. He had sent them on a mission. He had commissioned them. He'd say, go forth and conquer. Spread the news. Now, you know, Satan is going to do everything he can. The devil's going to do everything he can to stop you. But don't let that get in the way. Because you already have the victory over him. You just have to remind him of that once in a while. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, in other words, a man of peace is somebody who is open to hearing the word of God and discussing it, sharing it, accepting it. If the man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. And if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. That man of peace is going to take care of you. Do not keep moving from house to house. Now, I'm not saying for you to stick around at somebody else's house and hang out. Okay? But this time, it certainly worked. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you. That's the culture. They're going to be good neighbors. They're going to make sure you're fed and that you have water. Heal those who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But here's the part that I didn't have Janice read. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. Verse 12. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. So here's the thing with Sodom and Gomorrah, is they didn't know about Jesus. They knew about the kingdom of God, but they didn't know about Jesus. So it's saying that in final judgment, it'll be easier for the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for the present generation of that time where they have Jesus in their midst. We have Jesus in our midst right now. Not physically, but we have him here in the spirit. And there are folks out there that deny it. Or they add all kinds of extra rules, right? We're saved by grace, not by works. But we got other folks that go, no, it's the works that save you. They have it all mixed up. So that goes for the verses. I have ears to hear, you have ears to hear, eyes to see, but you neither hear nor see. And that's part of what Satan does. That's what the devil does, is he tries to keep us from being able to break through. But I'm telling each and every one of you, you have the power, because the Holy Spirit's in you, to overcome that. So share the word of God without fear. Which brings us to the last part, is you might face rejection once in a while. Anybody in here try to talk to somebody and you are rejected? Or they'll say, that's not what Doctrine and Covenant says. Or they'll say some other thing. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, you should. The devil and the demons and the angels believe in God, and they're fearful. You need to be likewise. In our case, fearful would be reverence. Let's show reverence. Let's be full of love. So a little bit of what I'm trying to tell you this morning, if you haven't already caught it, is you're commissioned. You're authorized. Go out there and conquer. Go out there, be victorious. Share with your neighbors. Now, a little bit more about the story from yesterday afternoon is that we had a problem with Vincent's car. What? David is working on it. Pretty soon, I've got all the old geezers. They're all from around the neighborhood. They're all there because David has had to pull the wheel off. We're looking at the rotor, the brake rotor, and some other stuff. They're all there. We gave them purpose because they were trying every trick in the book to fix this thing. When, in fact, all David did was go to Ace Hardware, get the right size socket, and about 45 seconds later, he had the problem fixed. But these guys spent, what, a half an hour working on this thing? They tried every trick in the book. There was things they did I didn't know existed. But by golly, they were showing up. I even had one kid. He drove his car down, parked it in the driveway, popped open the trunk, started pulling out all these tools. It was great. I felt like Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer, you know? Mention something and everybody else comes in and takes care of the problem for you. You just sit there. I'm with Coke in hand, enjoying it. Raquel and the ladies are cooking dinner and they're looking out the window going, wow, this is great. Look at all these guys out there. You know, now that's community. That's community. Now these guys, I've had a chance to talk to them about the Lord at one time or another. I mean, certainly they know I'm the pastor with sometimes the bad grass in the front yard. But this year's been good. It's all trimmed up. But I've had a chance to talk to them about the Lord, talk to them about Christianity. I've been very open with them, and they still like me. So it's okay. But you will get rejected sometimes. And that's what Jesus tried to teach him. Was, yeah, you're going to be accepted, but don't quit. You're going to be accepted. Bless those people that you're with. So each of you, doesn't matter if you're in Tremont, where, Christy, Elwood, right?
Boswell.
It's where?
Boswell.
Where's that?
It's past, just past Tremont.
Oh, this is Utah. I don't know. But the point is that the little communities where you're at, you have folks that you can share the Lord with. And it doesn't matter what their faith backgrounds are. Share it. Be bold. Be me. Don't. But just be bold. Go out there and have fun. I don't care if I'm in a grocery store. Benjamin, he always goes, oh, Dad, don't do it. Don't start talking to these people. And oh, you're talking to them in the line. Dad, I asked you not to do that. But it's me. I love to talk to them. So do likewise. Show no fear. Show no fear. Go out there. As we would say in the army, fix bayonets, charge the hill, go have fun. You know, don't literally fix bayonets, but go have fun. Because the joy of the Lord is with you. The Spirit of God is upon you. He has given you the mantle of authority to go out there and build relationships and share Jesus. Start a Bible study. Start a Bible study in your community. Make it happen. The neighborhood where you live. Make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's have offering.